The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Kanan Lipschitz, it's great to be chatting to you today, especially after the last 2.5 weeks.
Right, it's been a while, but I knew you'd be back. News from Europe never stops.
No, it can't. And before we get on to the individual topics that you want to chat about this afternoon, I want to ask you something. In your opinion, Kanan, you know, we've had incursions into Gaza before. We've had Tsuke Tan. We've had all sorts of things happen. And yet the reaction has never been as intense as it has been in Europe for the Jewish communities as it has been post the Guardians of the Wall operation. What, in your opinion, explains this?
It's very strange because it's actually been much lower on casualties and much shorter than the last round. You could argue that in the last round you had more dramatic incidents, like the attempt to storm a synagogue with 150 people in there when an Arab rabble assembled outside the Synagogue de la Roquette in Paris, and for long minutes, young men from the Jewish community defended the worshippers inside, and who knows what would have happened if the rabble managed to enter. So that was much more dramatic than what we've seen actually now. We've seen poisonous rhetoric. We've seen a convoy of cars driving through the UK, really, sure, terminating at Golders Green, shouting about, screwing the Jews and raping their daughters.
Yeah.
That was unprecedented. And I think it's a cumulative effect that we're seeing now, making leaders of European Jewry saying openly what the rank and file has been saying for a while now, that maybe it's lights out, that maybe large Jewish communities don't have a future here. And I think the reason is that what we're seeing is the terrific mobilization of the anti-Semites. Look, that convoy that I mentioned, that happened within 2 days. From the minute that something happens in Israel, you have 2 days to put something like this together. 10 cars driving through the UK, Palestinian flags, yeah, bullhorns. Mm. It takes an infrastructure, sure, that needs to exist in the day-to-day and can be launched at short notice. And that infrastructure is possible because of social media and because of the mosques. And it's terrifying that it exists. There have been a number of these incidents of short mobilization periods. There's been a home invasion in Birmingham in the UK into the home of an Arab, Abu Lait, an Arab blogger who dared to say something moderate about Hamas and hold them to account. So an angry crowd broke into his house. Luckily, he wasn't there. But again, to mobilize something like this at short notice, you need an infrastructure whose existence is very worrisome to us European Jews.
One of the stories you want to raise today is the fact that there was a non-Jewish man wearing a kippah in solidarity with Jews. He was assaulted in Sweden. There's another story exactly the same. An Austrian 19-year-old student on the U-Bahn or whatever they have in Austria, beaten up because she was reading a Jewish book. The woman is not Jewish. Has it got to that extent, Kanan?
Right. It has in the past few years. Actually, there was even more striking example last year when an Arab man from Israel, walked around in Berlin, and he put a kippah on to show his friends that all that talk about anti-Semitism and violence was exaggerated, to show him that nothing happens. And then he was assaulted by a Syrian asylum seeker who whipped him with a belt on the street. So I think once you've this is anecdotal, which is why I hedge by saying that's what I think. But I think that once anecdotally you have people who put on their kippah and start getting assaulted, well, that's just a window into the life of thousands of European Jews who, many of whom, don't even bother reporting anymore these kinds of incidents.
So, Kanan, to what extent has it gotten worse? I mean, I was in London probably about a year and a half ago. If you travel that northern line from central London up to Belsize Park, Edgware, there are a lot of people riding that line with kippot on. Would that have ended now?
I don't think so. I think it's just become more complicated. It means that in certain areas, at certain times, people take their kippahs off and put on baseball caps. It's not the end. It doesn't work like that. It's not as dramatic as all of that.
Interesting.
This is a gradual process in which more and more of the conveniences of Jewish life are being slowly stripped away until, conceivably, there's very little left.
Let's end it on something just a little more positive, because it's nice to find a positive story coming out of Europe, and that apparently is that a Dutch university has removed a pro-Palestinian banner after Jews protest. They certainly didn't do that in Rutgers.
Right. This was not just a Dutch university. This was the State University for Fine Arts, which has a royal concession. So it's really a royal family university. And what happened there, maybe out of awareness to this special sensitivity, the artists in residence they had, which is a name for students, they had an exhibition about by Palestinian artists, and to show their solidarity on May 18th, they unfurled banners from the windows of their studios there at the university. One of them said, "From the river to the sea," and nothing else. And others had Palestinian flags, in case you didn't get the reference. And that's, of course, shorthand for "From the River to the Sea, Palestine Will Be Free," a slogan that you hear at pro-Palestinian protests, rallies. The more benevolent interpretation is that it's a call to dismantle Israel as a Jewish state. And the more worrisome interpretation is that it's a call for ethnic cleansing, of driving out the Jews, because until the Jews aren't out of that area between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean, Palestine is not free. Now, there was some pulling and tugging to get the university to pull those banners. There was also a bit of ignorance, because, you know, put yourself in the shoes of a Dutch arts teacher. He doesn't know that it's immediately that it's shorthand. So you explain to him, it takes a while, research and so forth. Anyway, for a good week, those banners remained hanging across the part of the old ghetto of Amsterdam, where the Jews were rounded up and and sent to be murdered. And the Dutch jury was up in arms. The leader of the community here said one final solution was enough, which is language you don't hear very often here, at least.
Yeah.
And in the end, the university decided to do the right thing and pull that banner off. Now, it has another institution called the Atelier, which basically is a space where its students show their work. It's not far from the university, and that institution has the full slogan, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," hanging. They don't want to take my calls. They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to answer my emails. They are just adamant to continue displaying that very controversial statement.
Interesting times we're living in. Kanaan Lipschitz, thank you so much for talking to me this afternoon. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.